On this third Sunday of Easter, our gospel today is from the 24th chapter of Luke. And two really important things happen in that 24th chapter. The first part of the chapter is the appearance of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. So there were the two disciples who were walking away from Jerusalem towards Emmaus. The fact that they're walking away from Jerusalem is symbolic, because that means that they were walking away from the Lord, essentially. They had heard that Jesus, well, they knew that Jesus died. They experienced the trauma of that, but then they heard that he was raised. They didn't know what that meant. They're walking away from Jerusalem. Jesus comes and walks with them, reveals, before they even realize it's Jesus, he reveals to them the scriptures. And then he sits down and he breaks the bread with them. And it's that moment that they realize it's Jesus, and then he vanishes. So that's where today's gospel picks off. Those two disciples return back to Jerusalem. Again, that's a symbol. They're coming back to the Lord now. They've encountered him. And so they come back to the disciples. Now they're telling those who were back in Jerusalem how they had seen Jesus. It's interesting, so much is interesting about this. It's interesting that people were talking now about how Jesus was not in the tomb and how he was appearing to people. Their reaction to this wasn't joy, because they had no idea what this meant. Even when Jesus would say to them, when he was with them, The Son of Man will be killed, and on the third day he's going to raise from the dead. And his disciples didn't know what that meant. They didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. Similarly, now, people are saying Jesus is raised. What in the world does that mean? They didn't know. So Jesus comes then and stands in the midst of those disciples, as they're hearing these two say just how they had just met Jesus on the way away from Jerusalem. So they come back to Jerusalem. Then Jesus comes and stands in the midst of his disciples. He says, "Peace be with you." And what do we hear? They're terrified, and they think that they're seeing a ghost. We get a sense of where the disciples are spiritually at this time. Lots of fear, not fear of Jesus so much as fear that what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. So they're very scared. John tells us that they had locked themselves into the upper room for fear of the Jews and of the Romans. Well, the other thing that they're experiencing, fear for their physical safety, but also guilt. Because what was the last, they experienced the trauma of Jesus' suffering, and how did they respond to that trauma, that suffering? They all ran away. They weren't there for Jesus when he was going through his suffering. Beginning in the Garden of Gethsemane, they couldn't stay awake, even though Jesus was clearly in anguish and asking them to stay awake and pray. They couldn't stay awake. They flee when Jesus is captured. Peter, the head of the disciples, denies even knowing Jesus three times when he's asked about it. So then Jesus dies, is buried, and now the disciples are together. There has to be a tremendous guilt there and shame. And now they hear that Jesus is back. So we all know what happens in the movies when someone comes back from the dead. Comes back to the dead to kick some butts, to get some revenge. So just a lot that those disciples were experiencing. A lot of fear about what was going to happen to them, and a lot of guilt for how they had failed their friend during his time of need. And now all of a sudden, their friend is there, and of course, they have no idea what it means when he said he would be raised from the dead. So what do they assume? Well, that it's a ghost, that it's him, but not really him. It's his spirit. He's come back from the realm of the dead. And that's scary to him, just like it's scary. Ghosts are scary to us. Scary to them too. What does Jesus do then? He shows them the marks of the nails in his hand, and then he shows them the wound in his side and invites them to come forward and to touch those marks. And then we're told that as they see his body and as they touch his body, everything changes. They realize that it is really him. And what do we mean by really him? That it's not just his ghost, not just his soul, not just his spirit, but it's him, body and soul. He's risen from the dead. They're touching the body that was cold and dead for 3 days, and now he's alive and standing right before them, and they're thrilled about it. We're told that they are amazed and incredulous for joy. First of all, important to see that for us to see, this is part of our Easter faith, that what happens to Jesus isn't just a resuscitation. What happens to Jesus isn't what happened to Lazarus or other people, even currently, who die medically and then by some miraculous event come back from the dead, because they're going to die again. Lazarus died again at some point, even though he was in the tomb, cold and dead for 4 days, was raised, but he's dead now. But it's different with Jesus, because now Jesus is filled not with ordinary natural life, but with immortal life. Now his body cannot be injured again. Now his body will never decay. Death does not have any power over him in any way. So let's think now about the reaction of the disciples to this encounter with Jesus. And it's important for us to see that it wasn't enough just to hear Jesus is raised. They had to encounter him. First of all, we could say, what happens to their guilt? Well, it's gone. Their guilt gone. Why? Because Jesus has forgiven them. He's achieved reconciliation for them with God. They're united with God. So their guilt gone, their fear gone. God has shown himself to be stronger than death. What do they have to fear? If they get killed, and they will, all of them, for their witness to the resurrection, it doesn't matter because God will raise them up. Death isn't the end of the story for them now. Suffering, bodily suffering, isn't the end of the story. So this joy that animates the disciples at this encounter with Jesus and the revelation of Jesus is the joy that fills the whole church, especially during this Easter season, and rightfully so, because God has shown himself victorious over our enemy and over sin. What does that mean? I don't have to fear sin. I should try not to sin, but I don't have to fear it. Why? Because God will forgive me. And I have to keep going back to ask for forgiveness every time. But God is greater than sin. And so I don't have to fear that. And what a relief that is. I know that I'm imperfect and I still will struggle with sin, but every time I do, when I go to Jesus, when I bring it to him, he will forgive me and reconcile me with the Father. Even more than that, because he's stronger than my sin, he can help me to grow in virtue and transform my stony heart into a heart that's holy and pure. I can't do that myself, but Jesus can. He's stronger than the effects of sin in me. When I go to him, and I have to go to him over and over again, this is a continuous process, he will make me holy. He'll make me victorious over sin in my life. So that is wonderful news for us. that there's no sin that I've ever committed or that anyone can ever commit that's greater than God's love. There's no sin that I could commit in my life that is greater than God's love. So I don't have to be afraid of that. The other thing, the disciples are rid of their fear in the encounter with Jesus. So we don't have to fear death. And we don't have to fear bodily suffering. We will suffer in the body and we will die. But that doesn't have to be a source of fear for us. Why? Because Jesus shows us that it's not the end of the story. He's greater than death. He's greater than bodily suffering. He has in store for us, for the Christian, a new glorified existence. Death is the beginning for us. It's not the end. Jesus, when he was appearing to the disciples, was showing them what their destiny is. That's going to be them. Because why? What do we believe? That heaven ultimately isn't a bunch of souls bopping around. It's our bodies reunited with our soul at the end of time. That's why at every Sunday Mass we profess, I believe in the resurrection of the body. The bodily resurrection we believe. And he's going to take this body that might give me a lot of trouble during this life because it's too big or too slow or lots of pains in it. But in the resurrection, our body is going to be a source of glory for us, not pain or inconvenience or shame. That's really good news. I don't have to be afraid anymore of that bodily suffering, the bodily inconveniences that I experience today that are a part of the cross that Jesus gives me in my life. And then I don't have to fear the death because it's not final. God has shown himself to be greater than it, victorious over it. So wonderful news for us today is that this gospel, it's a living gospel for us, just like the disciples at the beginning of this chapter meet Jesus where? In the reading of the scriptures and the breaking of the bread, what are we doing? We just read the scriptures. In just a moment, we'll break the bread. It's the risen Lord who comes to be with us here at this Mass. Maybe we can ask today that the joy that the disciples felt in the encounter with the risen Lord would invade our own hearts so that we would know the joy of the resurrection. We would know the joy of the risen Lord. Whatever guilt we experience would be gone in this encounter with the risen Lord. Any fear we experience would be gone in the encounter with the risen Lord. Because he shows us who he is, victorious over sin and death, and he shows us what our own destiny is, new life. He's won for me the victory. Let us rejoice on this third Sunday of Easter.